go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that. We have a go from you guys.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound Podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Please do not forget, Talking Sound is now brought to you by Podcast Cadet. PodcastCadet.com is your place to go if you're trying to start a podcast for yourself, your friends, family, church, school, fun, whatever. We handle everything from the tech behind the podcast, teaching you the tech behind the podcast, teaching you distribution, monetization, everything, soup to nuts, A to Z. All we do is podcasting and teach you how to do it. Stop on by podcastcadet.com today. Use the code TALKING20 on your way out the door to save 20% off your entire purchase. On that note today, our show today is about podcasting. I am so happy to bring on Tiffany Youngren, owner of OMH Agency, a fantastic place out there. You can find them online at onlinemarketinghelp.net. They have a fantastic new program out there called the Podcast Ignition System. It is out there for people that want to streamline and make profit off of their videos, podcasts. It's literally a one-stop turnkey service where you bring them your piece of media and then they turn it into custom-made pieces of media for every platform out there. Absolutely amazing stuff. Really great things going on. Tiffany, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, Chris. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Absolutely. I've been excited. I mean, we met on social media, and I want to say it was within one of the podcasting groups, something like that. And when I started doing a little bit of research on what you're doing with the podcast ignition system over there, it was like, wow, what a great concept. Because there are, like we were talking about in pre-show and in our private conversation, there are so many facets to podcasting. Even as a former on-air producer for broadcast in radio and television, there are so many facets that go into every single show and getting word out about that show and engaging the audience, everything. And the fact that you guys over there at OMH Agency have come up with the podcast ignition system to really take those podcasters that are trying to reach the next level of their game and help them out, give them a leg up, and really empower them to be able to hit those markets without having to become an expert in those markets.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And I appreciate that. You know, when you, I feel like it's my baby. I've been doing podcasting for a few years and I love it. The system we're super excited about. And it's like your kid, you know, if someone goes and looks up your kid and they come back to you and they're like, get it. It's just this moment of like, oh, you get it, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I appreciate your enthusiasm. That's exactly how we feel about it here.
Yeah, well, I mean, myself is someone, like I said, who has experience. I caught this bug from teaching years ago and from being in broadcast. I loved broadcast production. Even in the world of production period, most of my time has been spent behind live consoles, whether it's been audio or video. I live for the live moment, for capturing it. Studio is great where you can do it over and over and over, but when you have that one chance to make it right and make it happen and broadcast it out for millions of people to watch or listen to that day, like there's nothing like it. There's nothing like finishing a 4-hour broadcast run of the day and everything went great. Every cue went off perfectly. We had things randomly pop up in the news cycle and handled them. Like those moments are great. So for me, that's where my love of podcasting comes from and why I started Podcast Cadet was I saw so many people who were struggling with this medium who have a great idea, have a great show, and just don't know the nuts and bolts. They need somebody to literally go, okay, buddy, let me sit down with you for 1 hour uninterrupted and I'll teach you how to use that soundboard properly. and to know that you guys have really taken up the next step in that chain, which is the social part of it, the what you're doing with your media, because most people literally just produce their show and put it out there. They don't think about the social media side of it. They don't think about the other facets to engaging your audience.
Right, right. It's true. You know, it's funny. When I started my podcast, it's called Chat and Grow Masterminds, and still people listen to it. One thing I love about podcasting is it lives forever,
right?
Especially when you promote it well. And back then, and even now, I still tell people, you know, one thing that you alluded to too, is that you can literally just grab your phone and make a podcast. That is true. So every time you hear somebody say that, like, you break it down, that's all you really have to do to have a podcast exist. However, after you've done that for a little bit of time, that's not enough, right? You need to have some kind of payoff for it. I mean, it's fun, so that's good too, but so is water skiing. You know, I mean, unless you know it's a ministry or a hobby, you need to have some kind of outcome and be really specific about it. And so even from the beginning, we were developing systems so that we could be more efficient with the promotion, because usually people want two things. They want a huge audience or an audience, like they want to know people are listening to it, and they want some kind of compensation for it, so that as they're bringing other people on to do the pieces that they don't love to do, they can delegate that and then focus on the part that they do love to do. Because I'm all about focusing on your zone of genius and being in that, and then bringing other people on who that's their zone of genius.
That's right.
Is breaking up pieces of content, putting it out on social media, contacting other guests to be on your show, contacting other shows to be guests on, like all these things that you can expand into with that simplicity of grab your phone and do a podcast. You can grow into that without being stressed out. And that's what we're focused on, is how can brilliant experts have a way where they can focus on the part that they love, but have a team around them that makes sure that they're making the money and getting the audience, so that their message isn't just thrown out into the sky. And, you know, kind of like in the old days of the website, like, oh, build a website, you'll make $1 billion. And then people would build these websites and they all just,
where did my billion dollars? But I built a website, and that's just it, though. That's just it. Like, and I hate being harsh. So, like, on occasion, the producer hat in me comes out, and that producer hat, folks, is like whether I was engineer for a band and literally had to tell them, "Hey, guys, I know you think you did great tonight. You didn't. It was horrible. Like, I have never seen you play more sloppy." And it's it's a hard thing to say because, you're supposed to be cajoling people and patting them on the back, right? No, not if you're their producer. If they had a bad day on air, you got to let them know.
Right.
If they went off, if they went off brand, you got to let them know.
Right.
And
when you think about it, when you play sports, it's the same way.
That's right.
You don't want your coach just telling you, like, "Oh, great job. Because you're never going to get better.
That's
you're just going to be stuck on the sidelines, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't pay a personal trainer for that, you know? And it's a funny mentality to get into, because it really is. And like I said, I hate being harsh sometimes, but on occasion I tell people, like, straight up, like, "Wow, this post kind of comes from one of the worst sides of entitlement." Just as a musician, period, to think that you made something, now you deserve money. No. That's a pretty haughty concept to have, number one. Number two, have you worked for the money? Have you actively put the time in to make that happen? And that's just it. Like, there's a lot of people out there making shows with just their phone, putting it up directly, not really considering about a brand, and then wondering why they're having a hard time monetizing it later. And it really is one of those, if you want to make money with it, just like any band, you got to think about that from the beginning. You can't be like the sloppy band that comes in and drinks their money away with a bar tab all night, and then next time around, 2 years later, demands $500 a night. Everybody just knows you as the drunk band that just drinks their pay away. So why do you need money now? I thought you played for beer.
And that's one thing I like about your approach, too. And I totally agree with that. It's like we're pretty much focused on serious podcasts.
That's right.
Serious podcasters. So there's the podcaster who just loves to do it. They just put it out there.
Hey, do it.
Whether or not they expect anything out of it, that's totally up to them. Like that's, you know, you do you, boo, you know. But for us, we're always focused on, like, if you're serious about podcasting, then we've got a lot to talk about, you know.
That's right.
And I think that that's also your approach, is you're looking for the people who want that kind of professionalism. It's a real thing. It's not a hobby. It's part of the company. It's part of the brand, you know. And then you just get to, and it's so much fun. So part of the time, I
absolutely
feel like I have to almost remind myself, like, remember, this is part of work. You know, I get to count this as work. This is super awesome.
I know.
But if you treat it like a business, you get the reward in addition to just having fun with it. And I think it's a lot more fun, because when we treat it seriously, you get such a huge reward.
You really do.
In addition to just the absolute sheer enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
Of the process.
And I mean, I can definitely attest to that. Most of my shows have been grown organically. Like my Dudes and Beer podcast literally started off as the concept was, okay, everybody bring a six pack and a couple of topics, and we're going to have an open, unabridged, no name calling conversation. Open minds, open hearts. I want to know what you believe about this and why you believe it. Nothing more. I don't want to convince you of my paradigm. Just open conversation over a couple of drinks. And then once I started going on the road, I wasn't around that table with people anymore. And the few guests that we had started coming on more regularly. And as things focused, I really started noticing that people listened a lot more. And I just did my show. Literally, when I started my show, I will be straight honest with you, Tiffany. I do not care if I make money with my show.
Yeah.
I loved my show.
I feel like we all started there. We're all like, well, oh, this is so fun. Then you kind of wake up and you're like, oh, wait,
hey,
I need to make also money.
Well, I mean, I could make money. The thing is, like, I've got a decent career as a traveling AV technician. Not so much right now with the COVID. but, like, I've already got what I did. So I was doing this just as, like, I miss teaching. I miss having those open conversations. And more than anything, it was the fact of I was coming up on my 40s and literally had zero friends, man. Like, outside of my, I would go out and have a drink or something after work while waiting for my ride. But I didn't specifically go out of my way to hang out with people. And that's not cool.
Right.
Like, you got to have a social life. So that's why I started my show, was to literally force me to get out of the house and hang out with people that I did not work with once a week.
I love it.
And it became a totally different thing. And like, we had one person on about a focused topic and got this crazy reaction from people. And it was like, wow, that resonated with people. And now it's on a totally different path. So to see things evolve that way, it can be hard to monetize that. Now that it's focused, it's much easier to monetize. But when it was in the beginning, it very, very hard to monetize something like that.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's just 3-4 people sitting around talking about what they want to talk about. There are places, don't get me wrong, like Podcorn, all kinds of stuff where you can go and, hey, I've got monetization on every show on my network that I put out. Some of them are just people sitting around talking. They are not necessarily a focus show, you know?
Right.
So how do you guys specifically work with that? Because there are people that are serious about their show and want to grow their show that aren't necessarily a business minded podcast. And how do you, I guess, kind of onboard them? What is your process whenever you first start working with someone, once they contact you guys over there about the Podcast Ignition system?
Well, there's a lot of pieces to it. There's a couple questions too I'm hearing. One is like, how do we process our onboarding? And the other is about the monetization piece.
Sure.
So first I want to talk about monetization.
Absolutely.
We really look at it in three different pillars. The first pillar is what I call strategic, white glove strategic guesting. The second is, selling on-air, on-air lead generation.
Yep.
And the third one is what I call partner placement, which is traditionally called sponsorships, but we open it up broader than the traditional sponsorship model. So with strategic guesting, you know, one of the questions that you asked is if someone isn't business-minded. And one of my favorite things to do is to take a topic for a podcast and figure out how it could be applied into each of the three pillars. Mm. There's a lot of, like, for example, somebody had been asking me about they have a podcast where they talk about healing and, you know, all these wonderful things. But they're not a psychologist or anything, but they bring on people who are, and they're really focused on people healing again. And we kind of talked about this a little bit before, where when someone has something where they're really helping a lot of people, I feel like, it takes a little more to overcome that, like, oh, I just want everybody to be happy. And that's why I do my podcast. And, you know, ultimately it takes money to, you know, run it and be sustainable. And so like for an example, for this person, part of the strategic guesting also fell into our partner placement where, you know, maybe they have guests that pay for their time on there and they're able to share what they do. And, you know, and that helps monetize the podcast. Another thing is to like have a feature or have a segment, a regular segment on your show that is related to what you're talking about, adds an entertainment value to it, but it features somebody who does have maybe a next step for your guests that is a business, you know? So where one person is like, oh, I'm just trying to help everybody. So I'm curating all these really great professionals, but then they have a professional on. One thing to keep in mind as a podcaster is you have listeners, as you're building your listeners, they want to know what to do next. I mean, if you're changing their life, especially if it's entertainment, there's a different approach, but in this example, there's a next step that they can take. And this is true in most business examples too, is they're listening to you. They're like, oh, you just are laying all this amazing stuff on me every week. But they want, if they're able to listen and then you give them an action step,
that's right.
That, you know, it's just really powerful. And if you don't have a business, that lead generation, that on-air lead generation is really that call to action. And if you don't have a business, you can have guests on who do, and they can have a free something that the person takes action next. So
that's right.
Another example that I had, we have our show about podcasting, but, I have a friend, and I don't know, I'm still talking to him about this. I don't know if I should just share this there, but I'm going to, he is so brilliant. He can tell the most amazing stories about history. And I'm going to just admit, I hate history. Like if you start telling me that you're going to start talking, I love it. I respect it. Yeah, and I know I should know it. And I know it.
The but shark I don't eyes love happen. Just they just roll back in your head.
Oh my gosh. I just feel like, do I have to be part of this conversation? You know, but he has a way that it's just so fascinating to listen to him talk about things. And he knows everything about marketing. So he's got all these really great marketing historical tidbits. And it's always like, he always starts it with, you know, it's really interesting. You know, what's really interesting. Or he always has this beginning and you're immediately intrigued. Like, what is interesting? Please tell me. And so I'm trying to talk him, and this is a really good example of partner placement, where he and I both have the same target audience, but we don't directly compete with each other. And so I want him to come on and have like a historical moment about marketing, and then say, you know, something about marketing in the past, because my audience would love that. And it would be a moment where we all got to have a 2 or 3 minute story, and but it just shows it would really enhance the content, so my audience would be happy, and he could have a podcast or have a piece of a podcast without having to produce it. He
That's
just
right.
would submit the content and I'm promoting him. So there's just a lot of ways that you can partner up with other people and monetize that opportunity. And
you mean like how I had you on my podcast?
Exactly.
Because we service the same market, but different facets. Same exact concept.
Exactly. So I don't know. I honestly, there is just not an industry or a topic that you cannot monetize with.
That's right.
And two, I am not, I am very much protective of my audience and the content. Mm. And so I am not, when I say monetize, I'm not talking about hurting the content or hurting the experience. It's just, there's a way to enhance it also monetize your podcast.
Well, and that's one of the concepts that I teach people in our monetization workshop is that number one, there, like you're saying, there is nothing that can't be monetized. The prime example of that, everybody, go look at Howard Stern. Hands down, like, one of the most risque shows, like so risque that he helped launch Sirius so that he could do his show the way he wanted to do it. Had enough sponsorship behind him to do it. So anything can be monetized, like you're saying. And I think the concept is that people get hung up on is the type of monetization. They listen to big names. They listen to their Mark Marons, their Joe Rogans. They hear things like stamps.com, you know, where they're getting paid money to say it. Doesn't matter what their CPM is. They're Mark Maron. They're going to get paid money, you know, CPM or no CPM, you know, which is click per mil, folks. We can have a whole episode on that sometime. But what we need to do is start teaching people to look more grassroots, start looking around you, start looking at like you're saying, those local businesses that you can feature on your show, start looking at those local businesses. Myself coming from a broadcast perspective and broadcast background, the one I encourage people to do is the studio sponsor. You drop on your platforms, you drop all whenever you get one, you drop all your pre-roll ads, and the only thing that happens is coming to you from the so-and-so studios in Austin, Texas. They are your primary sponsor in the first minute and a half of the show as you're talking about them and thanking them for the studio. And to find a local business like that to start taking to a larger audience, to start specifically driving a niche audience to. That's the thing. You, much like any radio host or TV host, you are now a trusted voice to your listener. They're listening because of you.
Yep.
You know, like you're providing good content, but they're there because of you, because of your voice, how you're presenting the content, and the way that you connect to them personally. And to show that as a means, folks, we have taken over. Like, broadcast is clamoring to catch up with us. Clamoring.
Right.
There is a reason why every single radio station that you tune into, when the DJ is signing off, he's like, tune into the podcast after the show.
Right.
Visit the web.
TV news does it.
Same thing.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
Because once somebody hits the front door of their work, that browser is locked down. They can't go to KUT News. They can't go to those websites frequently at work, but what they can do is tune in on their mobile device, and that's where we've stolen them. And because we stole them at the workplace, because we stole them at the gym, because we stole them on their walks, we've now scared the heck out of the broadcasting industry.
Yeah.
Literally. It is shaking the foundations. They have had to catch up with us. And good God, man, go watch a morning show. Their production quality is horrifying. It's like, my show sounds better than yours.
Yeah. I know there was a while I was like, geez, my Zoom calls are better than NBC right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, can we give Al Roker something? Can we give him anything other than the badminton net in his backyard?
Right.
Anything. Don't tell me you don't have a study, Al Roker.
Right.
like a home weather suite. I know you do.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just it, though. It's the concept of trying to broaden your horizon, trying to think of different means of monetization. And I think that that's really where your marketing agency experience with this to begin with really, really comes into play. Because to, like you're saying, to find those people, to find those partners to get contact with, content with, to share content with, that kind of stuff is absolutely essential.
Exactly. Exactly. The one other thing that we do that, and I kind of skipped over it in the three pillars, but our white glove strategic guesting is really powerful. And the key to that, this really works the best if you have some sort of business that you're, that is related to your podcast, or again, if you partner up with someone who does have a business and then they can reap the rewards of this.
That's right.
But if you prospect your guests just like you would for your business and you bring them on the show and have a good portion of your guests be people that are your ideal clients, number one, you have your finger on the pulse of your target audience. Like, it's beautiful. We do this and I absolutely love it. My second podcast was called Breakaway Agents and I tested this model and it was beautiful. Like, I was able to get top agents all across the country. And as a marketer, to get in front of these people, it's almost impossible.
Yep.
But with a podcast, once I convince them it really is free, I'm really not going to charge you for it. Cause you know, everyone's now, people are more familiar with it. So it's a lot easier now than when we first started, but being able to get in front of your absolute ideal audience like that is just amazing. And then the way that we break up our guests, we're really strategic about it. The bulk of it are ideal clients. And this is how we work with our own podcasters as well. And sometimes we'll switch around the percentages, but typically the biggest bulk are potential clients and existing clients. Existing clients, what's really nice is it increases their, you know, their loyalty. Like, they're already loyal, but then suddenly you're promoting them in a whole nother way. And then another segment of our guests are strategic partners. So people that we might end up having as sponsors, or, you know, again, they're people with who share the same target audience that we do, and we just want to collaborate with them somehow. And that manifests in a lot of different ways. The third segment of guests are what I call rock stars. We want to make sure that we get people on that, you know, all my podcasters, and I know I do, we all have like our list of rock stars of like, oh, someday I'm going to have this person on my show.
Oh yeah.
And, so that strategic guesting and doing it really deliberately, we've actually got a marketing platform called My Pod Blast that's what it's focused on is, white glove strategic guesting. It's not just about getting the guests on, but we build the most amazing relationships with them because they get very well communicated with. They get materials on how to be on a podcast, how to get the most out of it. And then we just continue to communicate with them all the way throughout the interview process. And then even beyond, we're like, you know, this is when it's coming out. Here's some ways you can promote it. We've got our 15-point, promotion guide for guests. But again, just that white glove service for our guests. I could basically, in fact, I've gone back to some of my rock star interviews from my previous podcast and gotten them on again. We have a podcast that we're launching here in the next couple of weeks called Next Step Nation, and being able just to go back to them and say, hey, would you be on my show? And they're like, absolutely yes. Because between the white glove service and our promotion, you know, the way that we break up all of our content and get it out across the entire internet, they're like, yeah. I mean, last time I have one guest, she was like, you know, the last time I was on your show, I swear I did it. It launched and I was everywhere. And she said, not only was I everywhere, you know, it was released, but then months later there I was again.
Yep.
She was like, so just having a system that people can rely on it's magic.
Yep. And absolutely. And that's just it. Like, like we were saying before the show in our private conversation, like I say in this show all the time, folks, it's one of two things, time or money. That's just it. Like, it took me years and years and years of organic work to get Dudes and Beer to the point where it is now. Where, yes, big name guests, the likes of, like, Coast to Coast AM guests, international speakers, authors on fringe topics, things like that come on. And it's great. And it's mostly because they see the fact that whenever they come on my show, I promote their books. I put their books up on my website. I ask if I can share their YouTube channels. Whenever they post up something like, hey, I'm speaking at this conference, I share it to my groups and my pages. Stuff like that. So even like I'm promoting them even when they're not on my show.
Well, and the beauty of podcasting is, you know, if someone's listening right now and they're like, yeah, but you know what you're doing, you've got over 200 episodes out. If someone's starting out, you can still get a rockstar guest.
That's right.
Podcasting is amazing for that because if you truly have respect for an expert that you see as a rock star and you're like, hey, in fact, and I use this all the time, but I had Neil Patel, the king of SEO, on my very first podcast. Like, I didn't even record more than 15 episodes. But I truly respect what he has to say. I use all of his stuff. And I was in an airport, and I got an email, you know, one of his email newsletters. And I just responded back and I'm like, I would absolutely love to have you on my show. I read these all the time. I think you're amazing. This is my vision for my podcast. And, you know, it would just be such an honor to have you on my show. And I got a response back to me and to his assistant saying, set it up. So it's like, whoa, thanks, you know. And the fact that you can connect with people like that and ask them questions. I mean, honestly, even if it wasn't publicized, it was such a gift to get to him questions directly. But then the promotion, I mean, he has an audience, obviously.
A little bit.
And so you just get like, it's just gold. I just think there, I just don't think that there's a better platform out there right now than podcasting.
There isn't.
A whole business. Like, you can build your entire business model. You can have your sales funnel based on your podcast. You can have your promotion based on your podcast. Your entire content marketing system can be based on your podcast.
It is absolutely.
It's just the most powerful thing available.
And then at that point, you can write it all off as part of your advertising.
Absolutely. Legitimately. And it's the funnest thing ever. So it's that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing self-circulating loop that you really can create as a business owner, as a podcaster, even if you're not a business owner, to close that loop and not leave the open end is so incredible. And to know that there are services like you guys out there at OMH Agency doing the podcast ignition system, that is just fantastic, because it really is the kind of service that is needed for a lot of podcasters out there that are really striving to do something and just don't quite know how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot. There's so many teeth to the cog that is podcasting, from social media to how you, like, I'm not even going to lie. I'm not on Insta. Like, there's a Dudes and Beer Instagram. And that was started by one of my original co-hosts whenever we went to Mecum Auto Auction. So he was like, hey, I have some Instagram followers. Let's start up a page and post pictures of all the cars we see. It's like, you want to manage an Instagram? Go ahead. I'm going to enjoy some cars today. I don't know anything about Instagram. Not really my thing. And it's one of those, like, even doing an audit of your show and figuring out your key demographics. Is that one of those that, you know, as a marketing team, you got to figure out if Instagram is even a major way to go for your show, you know?
Well, and our approach is really, we look at social media and the systematic posting that we do. We blanket the internet. Now, that's not to say that we have teams on all of these different platforms, putting a bunch of focus into it. I do believe as a business owner, you do need to reach your clients where they are and have conversations with them.
Sure.
Pushing out content is different than getting on a platform and interacting to generate activity.
True.
Having your content across as a blanket, there's a lot of advantages, but two of the biggest ones, number one is SEO. You have all those backlinks.
Yeah.
If you can, you know, once you start getting engagement, because people are going to find it, it's still great content. We get a lot of clicks to those links. So we get a lot of people who find us on one spot, even though we're not really active. It's not our focus, you know, because we don't do Instagram's
sure.
tough. Like, I feel like I wish that I could put links of every, you know, I know you can put a special link in your profile and they could go to places, but I feel like every other platform is easy because you can have a link to that exact episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But we still get clickbacks from Instagram. So we get traffic to our web. I don't care if it's five. If it's in a system and we're doing it every month, it's going to grow. And then we focus on the platforms that are important to us. In fact, one of the places that we're really diving into for our own agents, for our own Next Step Nation podcast, is Pinterest. Because, and this is, first of all, I've always been a fan of Pinterest. I'm not a Pinterest mom, so I can't relate to, like, I'm not good at doing it, but I love going to it because all of these other people are amazing at it. But with a podcast and marketing, I've always been really resistant to trying to make something visual, like Pinteresty, out of marketing. Like, okay, do I post my SEO stats? I mean, And so with Next Step Nation, what we're doing, and there are a lot of ways to do image-based programs, but with Next Step Nation, one of the things that we do is at the end of every episode, and I've done this with all three of my podcasts, I ask my guest, you know, where is your favorite restaurant and what do you order? Now, in the past, this is kind of funny, a funny story, a little bit painful, but funny. We had and I still have it, but we have it. Please don't go to it, though, because I'll get kicked off of Yelp. But we have a favorites list of restaurants from Breakaway Agent that all the agents who said, this is where I like to eat. This is what I order there. And one time I shared it on social media and I said, hey, did you know that we have this favorites list on Yelp all across the, actually around the world. Cause I had a couple on that were from Germany. And so it's like, you know, you can go to this list and you can see where everybody likes to eat. And of course, everybody loves food. That's one thing that connects all of us. And so so I got like a ton of traffic to my Yelp page and Yelp called me and they're like, why do you have so much traffic? And I was like, well, because I put this post out there. And they're like, well, you're going to get blacklisted if, you know, like this doesn't look right. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, I guess I'm going to Pinterest now. So we're going to start posting pictures of the food and having links to the episodes so you can see who does it. But yeah, it's funny. Be careful what you wish for, right? Want traffic, but.
Well, and that's just it, though. Number one, But that just brings me right back to a topic that we were talking about before the show, which is the idea of owning your own URL and owning your own content, owning your brand. So many people that get into this podcast world, and even if they think about monetization, they for some reason don't think about a website. Which is, if you're branding anything out there, folks, is literally the most important thing in the world. And if you've already got a website for your business, what a better way to start generating traffic to it regularly, you know, and it's just strange to me how the whole concept of distribution from your website doesn't grasp with people to begin with. And also the concept of being able to monetize something with rotating widget ads, anything like that, being able to put up affiliate links, stuff like that, is so invaluable for things on the back end. And it's really something that I think people have lost track of.
Well, it really, your website is your hub. I always, in fact, we started our company as a content marketing company. And we always said, your website's your hub and you need social media, blog posts, and email campaigns to make that all alive, to make it grow, and everything should it should be the same message, and you can share content. So everything we're doing with our podcast exactly reflects that same philosophy that we've always had about content, with the magic of podcast being added. But I think what you're saying is really important. And I think too, as people are listening, I feel like a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, so what do I start with? That's a lot of stuff. Just pick something. Like if you have a website, the beauty is you just get to pick. So if you don't want ads, do affiliate links. Why affiliate links? Well, when you write a blog post and you're affiliated with companies that you believe in, that you're happy to recommend to people, people are always looking for recommendations.
That's right.
And then boom, there's money for you, money in your pocket. So if you didn't do anything else, just pick one thing. And then after you've gotten the hang of it, pick another thing, you know, just start, and it should all flow. It should all make sense. Don't add something that is kind of out in left field and doesn't make sense to everything else. Just slowly do it. What works for one person might not work for your brand, and just, but build it in. But you have to have a website because it gives you total control and you get those options.
So. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people's fears is the amount I'm worried that, I won't be able to handle the traffic. and it's like, you know what, if you're worried that you won't be able to handle the traffic, worry about getting the traffic first. every
and
blog
systems,
post
systems makes it easy too. Like affiliates, like there's, you don't do anything except for take the money. Like
that's it.
You don't have time to cash a check. Like, I don't understand that. You know,
you don't even have to cash a check. It goes straight to your bank account. It's great. And especially whenever you're talking about things like Audible, stuff like that, like, man, that's a $15 pay.
Yep.
Like getting an Audible affiliate ship, which, you know, we have, we'll be throwing that at the end of the show, like we always do. And yeah, like anybody signs up with it, I'll be straight with you. I get paid $15. Like,
well, and that's
great.
So awesome. That is so awesome because, you know, you think about it, there is nothing you could talk about on a podcast that you could not recommend books about.
That's
and
right.
People on Audible are always eager for recommendations. And if they're listening to you talk on a podcast, they're going to go with books that you recommend. So you just have such a golden opportunity, and it's super simple. And even if you got a URL that you started collecting these books that you recommend, and you're on the air and you're like, hey, go to ChrisLovesThesebooks.com and, you know, and see what books I recommend.
Dude,
you know,
dudesandbeer.com/store.
I said
dudesandbeer.com/store. That's where you can find all the guest books from our guests there. Same thing here on Talking Sound. We sell all that stuff. Like whenever we have guests on, we absolutely go through and put up links to their books, all that kind of stuff. Cause it is about supporting. It's about trying to get as much word out there about the people that you are interviewing, and literally flooding the internet with content. And for those of you that are worried about like crashing your website with traffic, here's the thing. If you crash your website with traffic, go out and buy yourself a bottle of champagne.
Right.
And then get yourself a bigger pipeline. Like I'm a big Coast to Coast AM listener, and that used to be like the badge of honor on the show, was whenever they'd come back from commercial break and Art would be like, well, I have to apologize to our guests. Their website is down right now. We have apparently clogged their pipeline with too many listeners. It's like, yes.
I know, I love that.
Like, that's
it's
awesome.
Like, what if you woke up and you were so happy all day, it was just too much happiness? Like, there's just too much goodness in your life that day.
Well,
like,
when
you say that, that's what I think. I just think, oh, that's just the best. Like, for your website to crash because you have too much traffic, that's amazing. Because you think that the visitors are going to be annoyed that your website, for a second, and then they have fear of missing out. We all know about that.
That's right.
And so it's just the most beautiful thing ever. So
now you've become a commodity. And like it hit me all of about 3 months ago. Because like I said, my show Dudes and Beer has really kind of gone down this jaunt over the last 2.5 years where we've got like Anonymous came to me to be on my show.
Oh,
use it. Like Anonymous. I was like, yo, they think my show is important enough that they will have an unfettered platform.
Mm.
And that's amazing.
That's amazing. Incredible.
Yeah, 20 minutes before we went live, my website came under DDoS attack.
Oh, geez.
And it was like, I have arrived. This yeah. is my wife's
this
like,
is my, moment. Yeah,
my wife was like, you are insanely calm about this. I was like, you have no idea how pleasurable this is for me right now. Like, I've hit so many radars. It's amazing. And now I go look at my stats for that show, and like 45, 50% of the audience is in the Richmond, Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And it's it's like, hey, fellas, how you doing? but at the same time, it's like, wow, what an amazing point to be at where somebody considered my site important enough to take it down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what we were doing important enough to interrupt it. Yeah. And that's where the moment of popping a bottle of champagne comes in. Like we said, if you crash your website because of too many listeners, have a proud moment. Like, take the day yeah. off. Go enjoy yourself.
Well, at the end of the day, podcasters, just like everybody, want to matter,
yeah.
right? You want a show that matters. Mm-hmm. And if your website goes down, that is a pretty clear indicator
yeah.
that you matter, you know, and yeah. I agree. So that if that's your worry, then decide now what you're going to do to celebrate that and hope that
right.
moment comes, because
yeah.
it doesn't come for most. I yep. mean, that's
no,
pretty unusual.
No.
So.
It's one of those, like, when you decide to do it, just go out and buy the bottle and start chilling it.
Yeah.
Put it out
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a great idea. Put it in the fridge like that.
That's right.
I got a special bottle of tequila and we don't
this
drink
is,
any
yep,
of it.
That doesn't get open until the day the website crashes from traffic.
Yeah, that's my site crash bottle over there.
Yeah. Put it up on your vision board. You know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
seriously, but these are things that, and I tell people that in my workshops all the time, if you have not put it down on a calendar, you're mm-hmm. failing yourself.
Yep.
You're just talking about it. You're not actively putting a deadline on it. Once there is a date on, like, okay, we got to have a website up by this date. Now you have a plan of action. You have to do something. Until then, you're just hemming and hawing.
Wishing.
You aren't sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So what can people do out there to really start? Cause this is a service that they really have to be prepared for, you know, like you're saying, like we were saying earlier, it's not necessarily a service for every, podcaster out there. But what do they have to do? Much like getting, a marketing manager or anything like that, there are first steps that they need to do to prepare themselves and their content for this process. What should they be doing before they contact you over at OMH Agency to become part of the Podcast Ignition System?
Well, before they reach out, you really have to understand your audience and what their pain points are. What kind of content are they going to want? You don't have to have a title. You don't have to necessarily have the whole show fleshed out. It's,
sure.
you know, if you have an existing show, we have an onboarding system that accommodates both. So we really work with
serious
podcasters. So if you actually want to make money, you're an expert, or you have something that you believe in, and that you believe in yourself that you can do it, then we have a 21-day power start where we make sure you've got all your assets in place. So let's say you come to us and you've got everything, you've got your cover art, you've got your intro, you know everything. We have a in this process, all that is put into place so that it fits within the system so that the team can run everything consistently and all the pieces are there, because I feel like a lot of podcasters just kind of fly by the seat of their pants.
Yeah.
And it makes it so that your team, instead of having this flow, they're like swatting at flies, trying to get all the content out.
Yeah.
So I want to take that swatting at flies. And we actually work with your VAs to get this done. And we also are certifying what we call our virtual production assistants, and they run a lot of this.
Yeah.
But we also will certify your VA to do it as well if you already have a marketing team. but I want to take them from where they feel like they're swatting at flies and trying to chase you down for everything to where they just get on a bike. They've got a map and you know, there are a couple hills, you know, that there's some stuff to do, but you trust the process that all you got to do is the next step. And then before you know it, you're at the end and the crowd is there. And then you do it again for the next episode and the crowd just gets bigger and bigger and bigger every time.
Yeah.
But that 21 day power start, not only do we help existing podcasts, but if you have your finger on the pulse of your audience, and we will walk you through getting your cover art. We've got places that we recommend that you can use, or if you have a graphic artist, but we just make sure that you get all those pieces in place. Those 21 days, I hog the host. So my team helps with the VAs and I hog the hosts. I'm a host and I've done podcasts, so I know I don't like dealing with all that stuff, but there are things in the beginning that if you skip, you are crippling your team.
Yes.
And so I make sure that all those things happen with the least amount of pain and with the most amount of delegation. So even though I'm hogging the host, a lot of it is like, okay, give this to this team member, give this to this team member. Yeah. Because again, we're really protective of making sure the host, the burden feels light. And then with the VAs, we want them to be empowered with everything they need to be hugely successful and make their host really, really happy. So after the 21 day power start, then it's just a matter of, you know, there's always things that come up at the beginning that, you know, we're going to change this because I marketing's testing. So as we're going through, there's a lot of room. We work closely with the VA. So if the host is like, I want to change out my script, you know, we're helping the team make all that happen. And then we also coach the host. So I have, I'm available to the host as well as we've got monthly training to support what they're doing to make sure that they are getting the results. Because at the end of the day, I'm obsessed about hitting, you know, I want them to get ROI. I want them to say, okay, I use this system. I had this much money coming in. Usually it's nominal or zero or negative amounts. And we want growth. Like we want them to hit what they want to hit, not only with monetization, but also with their growing audience. So I'm pretty obsessed about that, but we've got a team and a system that makes it a lot more deliberate and, more consistent because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like predictability, right? We don't get any of that right now. So,
yeah.
In the podcast system, predictability is a big deal too.
Well, and that's just it. That's one reason why I lean heavily on my rock and roll roots, because there, and any marketer will tell you this, there is a system, and if you work the system will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to yield to the system and you've got to be willing to work the system.
Exactly. And, you know, for a hot second, we let our podcaster just do our first trial run. It was like, we let them just kind of, oh, you use that service. Okay, well just go ahead. Now we're like, nope, everybody does the system.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get results, none of us win. And you have to, you know, predictability is
that's
power.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
That's where it all comes from. So, we're really strict now.
Good. And a lot of that really does come down to the gumption of client training. I have to deal with it in the corporate AV field so many times where I have to tell people it's not that they can't get that. It's that we can't train them to expect that.
Right.
And if we deliver that all the time, every time with no notice, they will expect that. Because we see these people all around the country. They're doing the same show all around the country for different segments of the same company. And it'll be like, well, you made this happen in Detroit. And it's like, yeah, I know we made it happen, but we're not supposed to make it happen. You're supposed to go to somebody and they're supposed to go to somebody. Then the person up above them is supposed to go, yes, we can make it rain money. And then it trickles down and then we make it happen.
One thing we ran into was, you know, it's such a huge value for us to, like, it's our strong held value to make it all feel light to the host.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do that if their assistant wasn't doing what we're doing. So when the assistant called, I want our entire team to be able to answer their question. And if it's inconsistent, it's just, it's a mess, but we're nimble enough to where we do improve it all the time. Because number one, you probably noticed this too, but the industry is moving so much faster.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, you mentioned before we got on air about the growth, you know, we're at the beginning of the year, there's a million podcasts. Well, that was 500,000 yeah. last year, the year before, like it grew so
yeah,
exponentially.
It doubled.
We've got all these technologies that are fighting each other, and which is the best thing for us because our technology that's available to us is improving so quickly. So our processes have to change with that. Because if I can save my podcaster, if I can save their team, you know, 25% of the time that it's taking them now,
that's
money
invaluable.
In their pocket right
that's
there.
Invaluable.
And so for us to be able to, you know, put that in quickly. So our system allows for that as well. So, yeah, but it's exciting. It's an exciting time for sure.
Well, and I would have to agree. Like right now, the field of podcasting, the world of podcasting is leaps and bounds growing, like so much so that laws are having to catch up.
Oh, shoot. That makes me sad.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, it's one of those you hear a lot of it in the podcasting groups right now about RIAA compliance with music and things mm-hmm. like that. And I've had my show for years and it's like, you've just been really lucky for years.
Yeah.
And once again, that comes right back to the fact that now every single radio station and radio show and TV show has a podcast that's out on these platforms. That means that the algorithm has to be watching the platforms to make sure that they are not playing music that they're contractually obliged to pay artists for.
Right.
Those eyes
right.
were not there before because they didn't care. They didn't care before. Yeah. Like KKDW down the road didn't have a podcast. They didn't need to. Now they do. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the world of the big boys. Little fish podcasters. It's a whole different world once you start talking compliance issues like that. And
that's
another really big reason to be disseminating things from your own website out to platforms. Not the other way around. It really is about own your brand, own your content, and get ready for things in the future. You really do have to be willing to be ready to plan for something before it happens. Like if you're wanting to monetize or do a show as a business, think about that from the get-go.
Right.
As we get ready to head out here, what would be your one piece of advice for people that are trying to start a podcast for their business?
Well, all of the things that we talked about just now, it again makes the podcast feel very heavy, but there are ways to lighten the load. So if you have something to share and you're excited about it and you think it'd be fun, you are right. If you think that you have to wait until you have, you know, 100,000 listeners or however many before you can monetize, that's not true. It's just not true. And it doesn't have to be hard, but it does come down to systems.
Yeah.
You can either, you know, take the time to sit down and create systems and do it wrong the first 20 times, like everybody else who made up their own systems, or partner with somebody who already has the systems in place. So you're instead testing which makes the most money, which makes the most sense, you know?
Yeah.
So that you're focused on the front end and
and
the fun part, really.
Yeah.
Letting professionals kind of help you along the way, whether they're, you know, taking your training or getting your consulting or using the podcast ignition system. There's just a lot of options and those options are growing. Just partner with somebody that makes sense to you. I think that's another thing is they're like, oh, there's so many people out there and it's a new industry. You know, who does this and who does that better? At the end of the day, just talk to people, read what they're writing, see what they're putting out. And if it makes sense to you, then give it a shot and, just start, do something, like take action and don't wait because it's like waiting, you know, how soon can you start making money? You know, why wait for that?
Well, it's just the fact that anybody in business will tell you there is no perfect moment. The perfect moment is when you decide to step up to the plate and swing, because that's the only way you're going to hit the ball, period.
Exactly.
So you got to be willing to step up to the plate and take a swing do it. So, yeah, the fact that you guys are out there with the podcast Ignition System at OMH Agency is really fantastic for those people that are really trying to hone things down, really trying to polish content and show the way that it is being presented to the world on a mass scale, and really dialing everything back to Moonbase Alpha, to your place, to your one distribution site. So kudos to you guys for coming up with such a great system. So amazing. And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm mistaken here, are y'all also working with producers, editors, things like that as well?
Yeah, we collaborate. I love collaborating. It's really my favorite thing. Any opportunity we can work with other people who geek out about podcasts as much as we do is very welcome. Because we are the system, anyone who implements the system, we can work with. For our fundamental working with VAs, you know, there's a production value. But if you are saying, I really want radio quality podcast, it works to upgrade that portion. You know, although we are like, you have to use our system, there are definitely parts of it that at any stage you can upgrade the production value of any piece of the content.
Yeah.
And it works very well within what we do. And we get it. Like we know, the different options and, value those things as well, but everyone has different priorities and different goals. And so we try to be sensitive about what we coach people into doing, based on their goals. So, but yes, I love collaborating with editors and producers. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And that's something that I really wanted to point out, because, you know, a lot of people may be like, well, I've already got somebody that I work with.
Yeah.
You may be working with, like, I'm a producer, things like that. I don't necessarily help people with the marketing side of their show. Like that's something totally different. That's a different service that I provide than when I am a producer. Like my job as producer to make sure that you're on point with what you're marketing. So,
right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
So exactly. what are you trying to market is what I need to know, so that I can produce the show to match that.
And our job, other than the guesting, like we're really involved with the strategic guesting.
I like that concept.
From the rest of that, we start our production of the content based on that one file. So you want that, you know, MP4, the movie file, you know, the video file. And then that's where the production of all that content begins. Again, you know, once the podcast piece is put together, I know the people who want the radio quality, it just processed differently. It's like, okay, this is where you process the audio quality. Well, that is something that, you know, obviously you're an expert at. There's definitely a lot of, we're really like the backbone, like we're the map. Yeah. And so you need all these professionals doing a lot of these things. We just make it so that if someone needs the machine running, we can get the machine running. Whether you upgrade the engine or not is up to you. You can scale it. You could, you know, scale it to any level, really.
Yeah. And it's great, really flexible. The podcast Ignition System, folks, by OMH Agency. Tiffany, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. Tell everybody where they can go to find out more about this, where they can go as an editor to get involved, where they can go as a podcaster to start taking advantage of your programs, things like that. And the blog, oh my God, the blog is absolutely amazing. Like I said, I was sitting here just voraciously reading before the episode started. So yeah, great stuff over there.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for having me. And I, you know, your enthusiasm, definitely. But I'm just thrilled to do it. But yeah, if you are a podcaster, to kind of get to know us, the first place to go is podcastignitionsystem.com. And the first thing you'll see is you can download what I call our 101 pieces guide to getting content out of one file, 101 ideas of pieces and places you can put that content. And then also it has some information about the podcast ignition system and next steps. Once you feel like you're a serious podcaster and would be a good fit, the next step is a consultation. And we sit and talk about, you know, I want to make sure it's a good fit for both of us. So
absolutely.
No one ever gets off the call without at least a couple good ideas on next steps, whether or not it's working with us. So if you are an editor or a producer, one thing that we do have is we're just rolling out our pilot program for our virtual production assistant certification. So people are trained specifically on our 40 plus pieces workflow, which is really the core of our content creation process. And right now there's a waiting list for stage two, which is where we open it up to everybody to take it. Now we're just taking a few people on, but the applications are closing. So, but if you want to be part of this program in the future and you want to be added to our mailing list, you can just contact us either, you know, wherever you find us. We're at OMH Agency on every social media platform. So just reach out to us however you feel like, anywhere, and let us know. Just let me know that you're interested in future certification programs.
Fantastic, man. To know that there are other options out there in the world of podcast readiness, in the world of podcast production for those of us who are editors, producers, that kind of stuff. It is really fantastic to know that there are folks like you out there, not just facilitating that in this day and age and helping make that happen, but really lifting up the industry in that way. Because it's things like that, it's programs like this that really do demand the industry to go to the next level.
Right. Well, thank you.
I'm a big believer in programs like this, things like what Blueberry is doing, things like Podcast Cadet. They are really a rising tide raises all ships situation.
Absolutely.
The more things like this we have out there, the more professional our industry will become, the more professional we demand our industry to be.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for taking the time. Please do hold the line while we close things out, Tiffany. While you're online checking out podcastignitionsystem.com as well as OMH Agency, make sure to stop on by Talking Sound Show. That is where you can find all the episodes of Talking Sound, as well as the freelance AV directory. I mean, if you're a freelancer like me and really want a gig, I want a gig so bad. But if you don't have gigs going on in your area but still have companies that are out there, please do send them to us. We love adding things to the podcast, to the freelance directory, so that we can pay it forward to freelancers across the country. When the industry restarts, it would be great to have many places out there for us all to be able to go and get gigs regularly. Make sure to stop on by our parent network, HC Universal Network. That's where you can find us, as well as other great shows like Dudes and Beer, Yes But Why Podcast, many, many more. HCUniversalNetwork.com, everybody, is the website for that. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of your hearing, and keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
This is Talking Sound.